We certainly appreciate the things that have been brought to our attention and a reminder of our standard. And God bless those faithful brethren there that we learn about in the book of Daniel for their faithfulness, their willingness to stand in the midst of the suffering and persecution that they were undergoing, for not being willing to assimilate. You know, we don't believe in, I trust we don't, in, you know, the term that the science world uses is relativism in regards to morality, in regards to what's right. We believe that the Bible tells us what's right, and that God teaches us what's right and what's wrong, and not what everyone else is doing. My children have learned by now, I hope they have, because I hadn't heard it in a while. But when I ask them about why they have requested to do something, and why they want to do something, I don't like the answer because everybody else is doing it. Even if it's a group activity of something that I don't necessarily frown upon, I just don't like that answer. I like for there to be some other kind of purpose and meat behind whatever it is that they're engaging in. And, you know, what everyone else is doing in our culture around us, no matter who we may vote for, no matter who we want in this position or that position, make no doubt about it, this world has never been a friend to the Lord's people. Amen. Never been and won't be. We live in a culture where so much could be mentioned that is wrong. A lot of people don't believe that in work anymore and earning a living and being required. I think they just need a few weeks on the farm with my daddy is what I think they need. Because I'm going to tell you, Brother Harry's not going to give up on making them do. I can tell you that. He's pretty persistent whenever you're out there with him. And I'll get to the text here in just a minute, but I thought y'all, after people have met my daddy, I don't mind telling you something about him, because I'm sure it'll resonate with you. But you know, we try to teach our kids and make them do and have chores, and it doesn't come natural for them to want to do it. And we had one of ours last year toward the end of the school year that just got where he was cutting corners on them and not wanting to do them like he should. Me and Sister Allison looked at one another, and I said, I know exactly what he needs right here when he gets out of school. He's fixing to spend a month on the farm with Papa. If nothing else, whenever we get him back, he just won't want that punishment anymore, I can tell you that. He won't want to have to go there anymore. He may not have learned his lesson from the standpoint of knowing what a good work is about, but he won't want that anymore. I appreciate the work ethic that he tried to instill in me, and praise be unto the Lord that he got that from the scripture and not from culture that's around us. I have tried to pray that the Lord would give us something that would be encouraging today and would be glorifying unto him and would allow us to be able to rejoice in him again. I want to read to you from John chapter 10 and pray that the Lord is in the matter and these verses being on our mind and I guess if you say, well, Brother Will, that's a Primitive Baptist sermon that I've heard many times, I won't frown upon that at all. I won't consider that to be an insult. I know these verses are ones that are probably in parentheses behind every article of faith that the Lord's people have, no matter wherever that may be in the world today. These are proof texts to establish things that we hold near and dear. And I trust that hearing them one more time will not be something that will be something that you regret. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You know, Jesus here is speaking to some that they haven't come to him truly seeking who he is. Not truly. I don't believe they're true inquirers. I believe that they're ones that are trying to trip up our Lord. You know, I want to tell you something that is not a profitable use of time. And you won't find, I don't think, anybody in the Bible that ever succeeded in it, is you're not going to cause our Lord to stumble and to trip up. You're not going to confound him. You're not going to bring him to a point where he's not going to be able to answer what it is that you're trying to make him twist his words and say. You might be able to accomplish that with someone, even someone who is wiser than you. You may be able to accomplish that with just another man, but you won't succeed, neither did they, with the Lord. And here he looks directly at them that have come for that purpose, and he tells them that, you know, there's a reason why that they don't believe who he says that he was, as Brother Rick has already pointed out. Jesus says throughout the scriptures, indeed, who he was, that he and his Father were one. Amen. And if he is saying that his Father is God the Father, and he is the Son of the Father, God the Son, and they are one, Jesus is saying, I am God. He's not God Jr. He's not a smaller version of him. He became manifest in the flesh, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. But Jesus Christ was God, period. And whenever they are trying to accuse him of claiming to be something that he's not, he's reminding them and telling them, not for their purposes to learn, because they're not going to leave any smarter than what they showed up. But there were others there who heard his conversation with him, just as you and I are reading it today. And you and I need to know that there was a reason why that they would not and had not and would not ever recognize him as being the Son of God, as being God himself. And that is, he tells them that ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. The goats cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ. Not only can we conclude that from these words, that the goats cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ, we can also conclude that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, that does not make someone a sheep. Can't just lay the condition out there that if you'll just believe, you'll become. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you believe not because ye are not. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, is what Paul told the Corinthians. Neither can they know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And these that came to Jesus were in such a natural state. They had not been granted a spiritual nature from on high, and they didn't have the capability to be able to acknowledge something that is spiritual, and that's what Jesus was. He was God manifest in the flesh. They couldn't see Jesus for who he was. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. You know, he knows them that are his. It wouldn't be appropriate for me or either one of these brethren to walk up to somebody after we got done preaching and somebody came and said, I don't really know if I believe that the way that you put it. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to stand there and quote Jesus here and say, well, you believe not, therefore you are not of the Lord's sheep. That's not the lesson here. I'm not the Lord. He knows those who are his. He doesn't need anybody to show them to him. He knows who they are, and he has authority to say things that man doesn't have authority to say. Just because someone doesn't believe what I say and someone doesn't believe in what I'm telling them about Jesus does not remove the identity that may exist in their heart that the Lord knows is there. And it's not my responsibility to try to tell them who they are in regards to being in the eyes of God. I tell you, that's not our role. It's not our role. So we see here, the wicked have come, and the Lord tells them, you believe not because you are not. I tell you, I believe there will be a day when they will believe. there's going to be a day when there's not going to be any doubt in one person's heart and mind about who the Son of God is. I won't teach it like the world does and say, but it'll be too late for them then. No, I'm not telling you about it being too late or anything else. I'm just telling you that whenever the Lord of glory returns from heaven unto this world, that every knee will bow, righteous and wicked. They will believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God. But it won't be a comfort and an edification unto them. It'll be a judgment that they face that I want to tell you, save the grace of God and save his love and him imparting his righteousness unto us, each and every one of us would face as well because of our sins. You believe not because you are not of my sheep. But I don't want to end there. you said, Brother Will, you said that these things that you're going to tell us about are in the articles of faith. Well, Jesus didn't stop there. He speaks about some things that I hope you believe them. I hope you believe it the way I try to teach it. And I think you do. I believe you do. But here he tells them, because again, this being a mixed multitude that's before him and him knowing those that are his and those that weren't. Remember that in the audiences that Jesus preached to, you have to distinguish the fact that the Lord knew that there were those that were there to cause him to stumble, those that didn't like him, those that didn't like what he claimed, those that had no desire whatsoever to be able to worship and give him the reverence that he deserved. They were there and he knew them, and you see him talking to them at times. John chapter 8, you can go back and he tells them, you're of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He had authority to tell them. He knew what they were. He knew the one that they belonged to. But in the same audience, if you will, he tells that same group of people that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now, is he telling the same ones that were of their father the devil that they would know the truth and the truth would make them free? No, it was the mixed multitude. Well, here, little Lamb of God, is the same thing. The Lord knew those that were not his, but he knew that there were those there that were his. He knew that there were there in that mixed multitude among those that were hearing him that day that were his sheep. And I want to tell you, if they are his sheep, that means that he is their shepherd. And this is what he declared about those that were his sheep, him being their shepherd. And this is what he said about his sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. Do y'all believe in the effectual call at Cool Springs Primitive Baptist Church? And that means that whenever Jesus Christ calls one of his and he tells one that was dead to live, I want to tell you that his voice is effectual And just as he said a few chapters previous to this, that their hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He says here, and refers to him not as being dead, but as being his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And that means when I tell them to live, they hear me because they are mine and I'm speaking unto them, and they hear it, what it is that I'm telling them to do. And they do it. Oh, my sheep hear my voice. Do y'all believe that there's ever been one that Jesus has told to live that didn't live because they didn't hear? You know, we have a lot of dissension in our home from the response, I didn't hear you say that. That's the source of the majority of the things that go south around our house. You know, I told Sister Allison the other day, I said, I want us to start to count the number of times that problems arise due to poor communication. Poor communication. She told me the other day, she was on her way to town, and she called me and she said, I'm on my way to town. I'm glad we live somewhere, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with living in town. I've lived in town and felt like the Lord was with me there, but I'm glad I live somewhere where you, when you call somebody, say, I'm going to town. That means I gotta plan the trip around getting out and going out. She said, I'm going to town. And I said, for what? She said, I have told you 5 times why I had to go to town today. And I said, even having been reminded that she told me, I still couldn't remember why it was that she had to go to town. And the reason why it didn't go so well is because there was something that I could have gotten her to do while she was there had I known she was going to town. But that's just one example of poor communication. You know how many times we have to tell our children sometimes to do something, and when they hadn't done it, they come out and said, I don't remember you telling me that. I don't remember you telling me that. Poor communication. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord didn't leave it up to man to go tell another man to live. The Lord kept it in his hands, and he says, my sheep hear my voice. And he says, I know them. And whenever they hear his voice, I believe that this know them doesn't mean that he becomes aware of them. I believe the knowledge in this context of this verse is the same knowledge when we read about a foreknowing that the scripture tells us that God had of his people, that he foreloved them before the foundation of the world. And whenever they hear his voice and he knows them, what he's saying is that whenever I call them and they become alive in me and they love me, there's a manifestation of a love between the sheep and their shepherd. I know them. Boy, isn't that a calming voice to hear, the voice of the living God? And you say, Brother Will, can you remember that call? I can't remember it. I don't know when it happened. And that's not unique. There's a lot of born again children of God, and I have a hope in my heart that I am and believe that I am. But I can't remember a time of my life when I didn't believe that I was a sinner. And the only way that I would know that I was a sinner and that I had done wrong was because I was already born again of the Spirit of God. It could have happened whenever I was in my mother's womb. It could have happened when I was a child. I cannot remember the time, but I do believe with every ounce of my being that whenever the shepherd calls one of his sheep, there's an overabounding manifestation of love that is had from the one that is in authority over the one who he has authority over. And that is that he's manifesting and showing his love for us. We get to feel his love. You know, I know we can get too stretched out over feelings these days. You know, I don't like to mention them. Sometimes I get where I only mention it as much as I normally would because of the, you know, we live in such a tender world. You can't hurt anybody's feelings. You know, I'm not telling you I like mine hurt. But I can tell you this, is there's been time when I've seen the fulfillment of faithful are the wounds of a friend. And when I needed to hear what I needed to hear, somebody who was my friend told it to me. And even though it stung when it came out, I'm thankful that they did it. But you know, everybody's all about feelings these days. If they don't feel it, it can't be genuine, or it can't be right, or it can't be real. And so I don't want to overexpress it to the point where we need a bunch of emojis on a text message in order to be able to know what it is that we're saying. But I'm going to tell you, you know, whenever we're blessed to be able to observe the love that Jesus Christ has for His people. How great is that love, Brother Will? For His great love wherewith He hath loved us is what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. For His great love wherewith He hath loved us. John chapter 3 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It is a great love. It is a so love. And oh, when we're blessed to be able to see it and to be able to witness it in manifestation. And I believe that happens at the time of the new birth when He tells us to live. And we have experiences of it after that where we can feel the love of God. We can feel close to Him. Boy, that's a good place to be near the Lord. I'm going to tell you, our Lord's not one apt to get in a lot of trouble, is He? You know, you ever hear people say that they got in trouble because they were running with the wrong crowd? I can say that as one who liked to try to use that as an excuse in one phase of my life. But it wasn't just because I was running with them. I was every bit what they were into as well. So I don't allow that to be able to have much of an excuse, but I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about one that you can be around where you're not apt to get into any trouble. Oh, to feel close to the Lord. To be able to have His loving arms wrapped around me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. Okay. When the Lord calls us, and we have life in Him, I missed one. I saw the look on some of you brethren's faces. I did. You know, I mentioned last night about effectual listening. I got the feedback. I took it. I could sense, say, Brother Will, you missed a little phrase right there. I did. I missed it. I'd already mentioned it, but I missed it. And they follow me. And I know them and they follow me. You know, whenever this following that He's talking about here, it's not an active obedience from the standpoint of our Lord calling us and us saying, oh, it would be a good idea for us to follow Him, and therefore we're going to follow Him. I like to describe it as a passive obedience. And that is the same thing that Jesus taught in John chapter 6, whenever He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And that is a promise that the Lord said, I'll make come to pass. And whenever I call them to life, they live. When I call them to come to me, they come to me. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. You know, to hear some people's version of eternal life. You know, I wonder if they truly believe that when they were born again, if they received eternal life. I had to spend some time in the vehicle with a man a few weeks ago that knew I was a minister and seems to respect my role in the church. And he's always kind of asked me some spiritual questions when we were together. A lot of times, though, he wouldn't ask me a question. He'd just tell me what he thought. And he'd wonder why I didn't answer. And I'd say, well, you didn't ask me what I thought. You know, we were close enough where I could joke with him about that. But he asked me, he just came right out and asked me, he said, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, well, if you're talking about to eternal heaven, I want to tell you amen and amen. Amen. I believe in once saved, always saved. And he said, I do too. He said, but where do you go in the Bible to teach that? And I went right here to these verses that I just read to you. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I want to ask you, Lamb of God, this afternoon at Cool Springs Primitive Baptist Church, if the life that He gave you could be present within you today and be gone tomorrow, how eternal was it to start off with? It couldn't have been, could it? In order for it to be eternal life, by definition, when He gives you that life, you must have it for all eternity. Once saved, always saved. I believe that one grand and glorious day that we're going to live with Jesus in heaven above for all eternity. How long is it going to be, Brother Will? I don't think there's a one at Cool Springs this morning that wouldn't welcome it before we left here today. But I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know when he's going to return. I don't know if I'm going to pass first, but I believe with every ounce of my being that eternity's over on the other side of that river. Amen. Eternity, where time is no more. Time is no more. He calls us, we follow him, and he gives unto us eternal life, and we shall, and they shall never perish. Amen. Never perish. You know, don't tell me about a doctrine that there are some of God's children waiting in a upper stage of hell until he returns again. You know, y'all ever heard of the theology of purgatory? People say, Brother Will, don't go to putting words in folks' mind that they ain't heard before. It's out there. You might as well be somewhat familiar with it. I remember I went off to college and I took a course that Sister Allison still gives me a hard time about because I'm not the most cultured in the arts. If you spend much time with me, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with folks who are. I'm just not. Don't know a whole lot about it. Don't know. But I took a course in Gothic imagination. You say, Brother Will, why'd you take that course? I had to. had to take an art, and that lined up in the time slot I needed it in, and I took a Gothic imagination course. And she gives me a hard time about it because sometimes whenever we're looking at a certain setting or a certain scene, I'll make comments, say, that looks kind of Gothic, doesn't it? And she says, is that the only art word that you know? is that the only art word that you know? But you know, in that course, I remember the professor, and I don't know where he belonged or what he believed, but I will know that he tried to persuade us of a truth of a certain thing called purgatory, where the pre-Christ good guys were waiting on the Lord to return whenever he comes back, and then the ones who kept a law, the ones who were good, that he'd take home to be with him. You know, I remember I came home and I asked my daddy about that. And he was sitting in his chair looking at the TV. And I remember he turned the TV off. He said, what'd you just say? He said, what'd you just say? And I said, well, I've never heard of that before. I've never heard that, you know, because and a lot of people try to explain away what happened to people who profess a certain theology that says that you've got to believe in Jesus in order to go to glory. They try to answer for the ones that lived before Jesus. And that was the conclusion that this group that he belonged to had come to. But I want to tell you what Jesus said is that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. They're not in hell. I want to tell you where they are is they're present. Their soul and their spirit is present with the Lord above. Oh, and it's awaiting his return to where he's going to resurrect their bodies and he's going to unite all and he's going to take us home to be with him and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise God. I believe in that. I tell you, I believe it. Not only if you don't have to just take my word for it. You tell me who James and John and Peter saw in the Mount of Transfiguration, whether or not they didn't see someone who had passed prior to the coming of the Lord whenever they saw Elijah and Moses in that mount, one that was buried and one that was taken up in a whirlwind. They were present with Jesus above, and so is everyone that has ever passed from this life who was one of the Lord's sheep, because they will never perish. Never perish. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise is what Jesus told that thief. There was no waiting. There was nowhere for him to go and be in holding. I want to tell you, this world couldn't hold him anymore because he went home to be with the Lord, which is where every single one of his sheep go. Praise be unto the Lord. He said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh man, if that's not eternal security, I don't know what is. That's stronger than Brink's home security. You hear me? I hope there's nobody here that works for him. I'm not casting doubt on the company. I'm not. I'm just here to tell you that, you know, systems of our world can fail. But I'm going to tell you, our Lord will never fail. He without fail, every single one that's his, he's going to take home to be with him in glory one day. they are his sheep. He is their shepherd. And I'm going to tell you, he's a good shepherd. I'm going to tell you, he's the chief shepherd. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And because he's the one that's looking after him, looking after us, no man can pluck us out of our Father's hand. No man, my Father which gaveth them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, I tell you, I'm thankful to believe what I've tried to tell you about this morning. And if you believe it too, let us rejoice together in a Savior's love for us and what he's done for us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention. I've enjoyed being with you this weekend at Cool Springs.